Amen. If you have your Bible, turn to John chapter 19. John chapter 19, verse 38. And the Bible says, after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore, took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen cloths with the spices, as a manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. I want to preach this morning, if God will be my help, for a little while, on this salt, a sweet-smelling savor. Amen? A sweet-smelling savor. God began to put this on my heart, and I couldn't get away from it. And I've never heard this preached before, but God began to deal my heart and began to help me to understand some things about the goodness of God and the graciousness of God and how God manifests Himself, praise God, to those that will believe. Amen. God's able to minister to our hearts through the sweet Spirit of God. I'm glad that Jesus Christ had to go away, but He said, I'll send you another Comforter, which is the sweet Spirit. He said, I'll pray the Father, and He'll send you a Comforter. Now, that Comforter is that one just like Him. He said, I'll pray the Father. And so if Jesus asked the Father, and we know the Father loved the Son, that the Father sent that Comforter, which is the third person of the Trinity, which is the Holy Spirit of God, to speak to our hearts, to help us that we might understand the Scriptures of the Lord. Amen. And so understanding the Scriptures, we understand the God and the Christ of the Scriptures. Now we know that Jesus Christ, he was taken to Golgotha after he was brutally terrorized and tortured and beat and persecuted. And he was hung on an old cross where he died for the sins of the world. He was beat and mutilated. Isaiah 52 says, beyond imagination. The Bible says he was marred, beaten, praise God, more than any man had ever been beaten. Praise God, his visage was so marred. Praise God, and they brought him down here. And we see he was taken from the cross by Joseph Arimathea and by Nicodemus, is wrapped in a linen cloth and buried there at Golgotha. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. He didn't even have his own tomb. He hadn't made preparations because he knew that they'd be made. Amen. I'm glad God knows everything, don't you? He knows who you are this morning. He knows why you're here this morning. Praise God. You say, well, preacher, I just come because Easter Sunday. That's what we're supposed to do. Praise God. And you're right. That's what we ought to do. He said, fail not to assemble yourself as the custom of some is. Even so tomorrow as the days approaches. Praise God. I'm telling you what, youngins, it's time to get in. It's time to get something from God. It's time to snuggle up to Him. It's time to get just as close as you can get to a true and a loving God and a Savior who loved you so much that He did all that for you. But we see these disciples, it goes on in chapter number 20, and it tells us how it takes place in the resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say here equivocally this morning that Jesus didn't stay dead. Amen. Amen. Praise God. As they sung Friday night, there's no bones in an empty tomb. Amen. There's no bones over there in that tomb at Golgotha. Praise God. There was no tombs in that, no bones in that tomb there in the garden. I've been there. I've looked in. Praise God. And the only thing you can see is that where that tomb where Jesus had been. But I'm glad, praise God, I'm glad He's had been there. Because if he hadn't have got up from the grave, He wouldn't have been no more, no better than any other false God that's out there. But I'm telling you today that we serve a Savior who came and was born. He lived a virtuous life. Praise God, He went out of here. Praise God, He rose from the dead to make intercession for me and you. And today, right now, this morning, He's sitting at the right hand of the Father on high.
Amen.
Amen. But the Bible tells us that after the resurrection, there was some confusion. See, Mary runs down there to the tomb, and she begins to jump to conclusions. I mean, if we ain't careful, we get confused and we jump to conclusions. She thought somebody had done stole away Jesus. She runs back and she tells Peter and John, tells Peter and John. And so she got them on the move. Peter and John, they run down there, praise God, to the tomb to see what's going on. They see if what she was saying was right. And when they got down there to the tomb, they slid in that thing. So she had already went into that place. Mary Magdalene, she had done looked. She had seen the clothes folded up lying there, those grave clothes, and that the tomb was empty. She goes back and she says, "Hey, said something happened. They've took him away. They stole him away." Peter and John run in there. They slide in. You know the story. John pulls up the door and he stops. He looks in. Peter slides on in there. Praise God. And they look around to Jesus. Hey, man, she was right. She hadn't told him a tale. Hey, praise God. The stone was rolled away. Jesus was gone. Amen. Only thing they see there is those clothes lying. Amen. Those clothes lying there where Jesus had been. What are you saying, Pastor Jeff? I'm saying they saw, listen to me, they saw the very evidence of the resurrection. Amen? They saw the very evidence of the resurrection. What more did they need to see? What more did you need to know, praise God? That one that had been, praise God, is not, praise the Lord. That had been dead, praise God, he must be alive. That one that was laid there, that one that was wrapped up, that one that was, praise God, they thought was dead and gone, praise God, he's not there no more. The stone is rolled away. Amen. And Jesus is gone. So what more evidence they need? Amen. They saw all the evidence, but it didn't change their lives. Amen. We can see all the evidence in the Word of God. We can believe it. Amen. Come on. I've had people in here who had their parents and their grandparents. Their mamas and their papas say, "You know what? I know what the Bible says." And mama, daddy, they were godly people. Amen. Hey, we can see all the evidence. But what they needed to see was the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to see a living Savior. You know what's wrong with our church today? A whole lot of us have never seen a risen Savior. We've never seen a living Savior. We've never recognized a living Savior. We're living in a fairy tale world. We think Jesus is a fairy tale. You know, it's just something that people tell us. It's just something that's been carried on for generations. Let me tell you, fairy tales, praise God, the dead don't rise from the dead and live as Jesus lived. Amen. Praise God. So we see their confusion, but then we see that love. See, unbelief blinds you to the Lord's presence. Sometimes we just don't see Him, praise God, even when He's right there. Hello? I want to tell you, I thank God for Friday night. We had that singing here. And I want to tell you, the presence of the Lord was here. Amen? The presence of the Lord was real. Well, I tell you, I about got beside myself. The singing was wonderful. Every song was just right on time, on perfect. And boy, I just thank God for that. Amen? But unbelief, praise God, it blinds you to the Lord's presence. Amen? Praise God. But if you look here, praise God, Mary was there, Mary Magdalene, and she was looking for Him, and she perceived that Jesus was the gardener. Hello? Amen. See, the world thinks, hey, they think, well, Jesus was dead, and Jesus, you talk to different people. Well, Jesus was a great prophet, and he was a healer, and he done great in one thing, praise God. Everybody's got opinion of who Jesus is. I want to tell you, praise God, Jesus is a risen Savior to mankind, to humanity. But she was looking there, she was looking in the tomb, and she was looking, the angel said to her, two angels in white sitting on the one on the head and the other at his feet, verse number 12, said where the body of Jesus had lain. I'm glad it says had lain. Amen. It had been there. Amen. It had been there. Praise the Lord. And they say to her, "Woman, why weepest thou?" She said to them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned her back, herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. You say, how in the world that they'd walked with him 3.5 years, they'd lived among him, praise God. How did they not know that it was him? They were blinded. But listen to what Jesus said. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And she supposed him to be the gardener, and saith to him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Now watch this. And Jesus saith unto her, Mary. Amen. That made all the difference. John chapter number 10, verse number 3 said that Jesus knows his sheep and he calls them by name. You remember today, listen, real careful how you remember today when Jesus called your name. Amen. Huh? Do you remember today when Jesus called your name? I mean, I'm talking about a personal thing. I remember the night, March 1976, when Jesus called my name. Amen. Hey, he actually called my name on Tuesday night, and I rebelled and I rejected it, praise God. And I didn't praise God, heed the master's call. You know, I could have died and went to hell that night, the next day. And God would have been just and let me. Amen. But praise God, he didn't quit. All night long, he kept calling my name. And that Wednesday night, praise God, he was still calling my name. I remember that little old preacher preaching. He said, son, you don't have to go to hell. And I thought, he's talking to me. And it was like the Holy Ghost of God whispered in my ear and said, Jeff, Jesus loves you, son. He died for you. You don't have to go this route, praise God. You can choose a new way. Praise God. He called my name and I heeded the call. Left out of there, praise God. And they was kindled. They was something rekindled down in my soul. Praise the Lord. God began to move. See, faith, praise God, in who he was. Faith in what he had done for me. Faith in who he wanted to be to me, praise God. It rekindled love down in my soul. And that changed my life. That opened my eyes. See, we see Mary changed here. She changed, praise God, in a moment of time, she changed from a mourner to a missionary. Amen, glory, hallelujah. That's what God does when he speaks your name and you hear him and you answer the call. God's speaking. There's probably somebody here today. God's speaking your heart. Maybe you need to be saved. Maybe you need to, there's something he wants you to do. Maybe there's something, praise God, that he wants you to get involved in for his glory. And he's speaking your name today. Are you listening? Oh, and I know the old tale. The devil's full of tales. He said, well, you don't have to do. Don't listen to that. You know you ain't able to do it. You can't do that. You can't. I'll be honest with you. You can't. I'll just tell you. You can't do it, but God can. Bible says there's nothing impossible with him. So all our little inadequacies we have in our life, praise God, that's not an excuse. Amen. The Lord has called me to preach, and I know I'm not much of a preacher, but I love my Lord and Savior. He called me to preach. I said, Lord, I can't do this. But I'll just be a vessel. If you could use this so sorry vessel, Lord, I'll do the best I can to lift up your name. I'll do my best I can to love your people and to try to encourage people to get saved. That's all he wants us to do. So Mary was changed in a moment. Amen. Went from mourning to missionary to praising God and telling everybody that Jesus Christ is alive. Glory to God. What a blessing. So we see that confusion, we see that love, but we also see that peace. That peace that passes understanding that he talks about. Verse 19 and 20, then the same day in the evening being the first day of the week. Now let me just stop here and say this. You know why we worship on Sunday? Because it's the first day of the week. Amen. We don't observe Sabbath worship, nor that was what was the Jews were given. Amen. We worship on the first day of the week because Jesus got up, he resurrected, he revived, he lives on the first day of the week. And after the resurrection, the church began to meet at their house, they begin to have services, they begin to pray and worship on the first day of the week. We celebrate a risen Savior on Sundays. But we aren't to just celebrate on Sundays, we are to celebrate it on Mondays. And Tuesdays, and all those days that end with a Y. Amen. Did you get that? I see somebody say, well, preacher, what day doesn't end with a Y? You got it. Amen. They all do. We ought to celebrate the risen Savior every day. Glorify Him because He's risen. Praise God. Amen. Bless His name. That peace that passes understanding. Now look what He says. He said they were shut. The door was shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. And came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. Amen. Say, hey, listen, a closed door, praise God, will not stop the Lord of the love of Jesus from getting to you. The devil would like to keep the door of your heart closed all the time. But praise God, that won't stop Jesus from getting to you. He can manage to get to you somehow. That peace, praise God, it's based on what He did on Calvary. Hello? Amen? He said, peace be. And when He had said, He showed them His hands and His feet. And then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Amen? So that peace, that pastor, it comes from the message, praise God, of what He did for you on Calvary. He said when the peace of God fell upon them when they saw the nail scars in His hands and His feet. Those holes, praise God, in His hands and His feet. That piercing side. That's what opened their eyes. It's what brought that peace, praise God. It passes all understanding. Amen. That's where it begins to bring in faith and minister faith into our lives. Amen. Faith, praise God. The Lord's tender dealings with our hearts, where He takes away our doubts and our unbeliefs. Remember Thomas? Thomas wasn't there when the Lord appeared. And he told him, he said, I'm not going to believe. Amen. One of the 12 called Didymus was not with them when Jesus came. That upper side, therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, except I see His hands and the prints in the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into His side, I will not believe. Amen. I wonder what's it going to take to get us to believe today? Amen. Hey, we've had all the evidence. We've seen the evidence of the resurrection, praise God. We know that it's real. Amen. We got a lot of testimonies. Paul said there's over 500 at one time saw Jesus after His resurrection. After He got up, praise God. So we know it was true. Hey, you can't get 500 people to lie the same lie. Amen? Somebody will find some way to discredit it if it's a lie. But praise God, it wasn't a lie. It was the truth. And said, after 8 days again, His disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, and doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said peace unto you. That peace that passed understanding, it came to where they was at. Amen. They was afraid of the Jews. They was afraid of what happened. But praise God, that God was that He was there to take away the doubts. He was able to take away the unbelief. Praise God. We today, praise God, we can't see Him. Praise God, we can't see Him, praise the Lord, or feel His wounds. But praise God, we know that He's real. Amen. Praise God. Because His Word assures us. It gives us that confidence, praise God. His words. Jesus said, peace be unto you. And Jesus said it, praise God, we can believe it. We have that peace that passes understanding. So God begins to minister. We do it through faith. Amen. Because of the facts. Come on. Amen. Did you hear what I say? We believe through faith because of the facts. The facts is what makes the difference. If we didn't have the facts, we could doubt, we could wonder, we could be in unbelief. But hey, we have the facts. Praise God. We can't let the facts fall. We can't let the facts go. Amen. Remember that. We build our relationship. We build our knowledge. We build what we believe, Brother Josh, on the facts. What God said, you were living a day and hour. Let me just say this. We're living a day and hour. People are bringing stuff at us. They're putting stuff on and saying, oh, well, this is right. And we just jump on the cart and we go with it. And it's wrong. Amen. God did not say, you say, well, preacher, God didn't say no word that was wrong. Yeah, but He sure didn't say that it was right. I believe I'm just going to stick with what God says is right. When God says, this is the way I want you to do something, that's the way you're going to do it. Don't go run it off on a in a tangent to do it our own way, because it'll take away the glory of God. Amen. So we've got to remember, we've got to stay with the facts. I learned a little thing back when I was in Bible class. It came to my mind yesterday. I hadn't thought about it in years. About the feeling, faith, and fact. Amen? Feeling, faith, and fact. Anybody ever hear that little thing about feeling, faith, and fact? He said, there was a time three went for a walk on a wall. Feeling, faith, and fact. A feeling had a mighty fall, and faith was taken back. But fact stood sure upon the wall and brought back faith, and he brought back feeling too. Amen? So they continued on the wall. Amen? Glory. Hey, it takes fact, praise God, to keep us on the right path. It takes knowing the truth. Jesus said, peace be unto you. It was that peace that passes understanding and give them that encourage to go just a little farther. Why we don't have encouragement, why we're not being encouraged to do something for Jesus, because we aren't rooted and grounded in the facts. Amen? Somebody says, God, I just don't believe that. And you get discouraged. You say, well, okay, well, maybe I'm wrong. You know, maybe I ought to see things their way. Amen. Praise God. We better see things God's way. Amen. Hello. Praise the Lord. We better stick with Him because He stuck with us. See, facts, praise God, it keeps our faith solid and grounded. So that our faith through faith, praise God, we can begin to have those feelings. Amen. Now, I'll be the first to tell you, I've told you a whole bunch of times, we don't run on feelings. Feelings will let you down. Feelings will fall down. Feelings will trip you up. Amen. But you gotta have faith, praise God, and because of the facts, what we know. We know, number one, that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin in Bethlehem, Judea. Amen. And we know that He lived and loved and He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And that He was buried according to Scripture. Because God said so. And that on the third day, praise God, He got up victorious over death and grave according to the Scripture. Because God said so. That's the facts. You say, well, preacher, I just don't live by it. Well, then you're arguing with God. Now, I ain't going to argue with you, praise God. If you want to argue with God, you can. It ain't going to do you much good. But praise God, when we have the facts, praise God, it'll establish our faith. It'll encourage us, praise God. And then the feeling begins to come. Amen? The feeling begins. Feeling is a wonderful thing. I like when I can feel the presence of God. Anybody ever feel the presence of God? Every hand in here, if you've ever been born again, you better raise your hand. Or I think you need this altar. Amen? If you ain't ever felt the presence of God, you ain't been saved. Because there's nothing like the feeling of the Holy Spirit of God when He moves upon you as a lost sinner. I pray God to convict you of your sin and tell you, let you know that Jesus loves you. Amen. I'm glad He did that for me. Amen. Praise God. I'll never get over it. I'll never be what I need to be, but praise God, I'll never get over what He done for me. But we see, praise God, how God moved in this. How God moved upon her heart, praise God, in that feeling, praise God, because of fact, because of their faith, praise God, they had the feeling. There was some stirring in these folks, praise God, a feeling that praise God, everything was going to be all right. He said, peace be unto you. Amen. He told Thomas, He said, reach hither thy finger and hold, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. You reckon Thomas had to do that? No way. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. I mean, he didn't have to fix it, put his finger in his hands. He didn't have to thrust his hand into his side. He said, my Lord and my God. He was speaking of His authority. He was speaking of His deity. Amen. Thomas said, I'm no longer a doubter. Lord, I believe because I've seen You. And I just want to hit something just a minute and I'll let you go. Now, the title of my message is A Sweet Smelling Savor. Amen. As you look back in when they're preparing Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus are preparing the Lord Jesus Christ for burial, the Bible says that Joseph of Arimathea begged the body of Jesus from Pilate, And Pilate gave him leave to take it. He came and he took the body of Jesus. Now watch this. There came also Nicodemus, which at the first came Jesus by night. Now watch this. And brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. Amen. That's a lot of herbs. Amen. That's a lot of scents. That's a lot of fragrance. Praise God. You see where I'm going with this? Jesus Christ died and he was buried. But it wasn't before they wrapped him up in these scents. The myrrh, which has a fragrance of a sweet smoky smell. Amen. You ever get those sweet smoky smells? That's kind of like when you're cooking them ribs on the grill. Amen. Glory be to God. And you've got that sweet baby Ray on them. Hey, glory to God. And they're cooking up just right. That sweet smelling sweetness. Glory to God. Makes your mouth water. You can't wait till they're done so you can partake of them. And then the Bible says that there was aloes. Amen. Those aloes would make you feel fresh and crisp and green. Amen. But it also tells us of another one that if we ain't careful, we'll miss. It's over in Psalms chapter 45, where it's talking about the king. That's not talking about a king. But Josh, it's talking about the king. Now, who is the king? Jesus. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Amen. And he talks about him, and he goes through all this, but I'm not going to get in there today. It's another message for another time. But verse number 8, and he says, all thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad. Amen. So you see these essences, the myrrh, praise God, which that sweet smoky smell. We see the fresh green fragrances, the alloy, and we see the cassia, which is a cinnamon smell. Now let's just put these together, okay? So this is the way Jesus smelled, amen? This is the way Jesus would have smelled. And so we see Mary as she pulls up to the tomb and she sees the clothes, the linen lie, of course the napkins folded, that's another whole message itself. And she takes a deep whiff. And praise God. And it's something that'll be etched into her mind. Peter and John run down there and they slide into the tomb. And Jesus is gone, but there's a fragrance. There's a sweet smell and savor. Me and Teresa has been to Israel. And honest to goodness, every now and then, I'll be going into somewhere. We started to go into Food Line the other night, Wednesday night after church, to pick up a couple things on the way home. And there was a smell come up through there. And I thought, Israel. I smelt that in Israel. Exact same smell. It was etched in my mind. You see where I'm going? Amen. These disciples, they left out there. And then Mary, she's back in the garden. She's back there in the garden. And there's a sweet smell and savor. That smell. Man, Jesus must be close. I can smell him. I tell you what, I sat right here Friday night, Brother Bill, and there was a sweet smelling savor. Well, every time I take a deep breath, it was like, it's right here. I was looking around, I was trying to see it. I know he was here, he was close. Amen. Praise God, it's real. What they had was real. And then he spoke her name. She said, I know that smell. He spoke her name. He turned around. She said, Rabboni. Say, Master. Glory to God, I knew you was here somewhere. I've smelt your presence. Amen. That fragrance, that sweet smelling savor, praise God, that God Almighty, praise God, loves to hear, loves to smell so much. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 2. Well, verse number 1 says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love." Now watch this. "As Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God," watch this, "for a sweet smelling savor." Amen. God offered us up that sweet smelling savor. That's something to experience. See, it intrigued my mind. I got to think about, what is a savor? What does it mean to savor something? And I pulled out my old 1828 Webster's Dictionary. He said, "Preacher, I'll buy you a new one. Don't buy me no new one. I won't use it." They've changed the definitions. They've changed the words. They've changed meanings. They don't mean the same. Amen. But it says that word savor means to be pleasing to the taste or have a pleasing odor. Sweet and agreeable. Amen. It means also to experience slowly, not to be in any hurry. See, sometimes we come to the house of God and we miss out that sweet smelling savor because we're in a big hurry. Amen. He said to enjoy as much as possible. That's what we're supposed to do. That sweet smelling savor, Lord, when the Lord approaches, when the Lord comes in, when the Lord's presence is known. He said, that sweet-smelling Savior, we ought to just want to, praise God, just savor it. Amen, praise God. To just take it in and absorb it and enjoy it, praise God. And not to be in no hurry in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Living, praise God. Feeling that love, praise the Lord, of God. Following the example of Christ, he tells us in Ephesians 5. Praise God. Savoring it. Amen. What happens when you savor? You feel pleasant. Then you feel pleasant about feeling pleasant. Amen. Now this is just my experience. I'm just giving you what encourages me. Amen. That's when savoring comes in. That's when savoring begins to take its place. It's not just feeling good. It's feeling good about feeling good. Man, you can feel good in the Lord. Praise God. Amen. You ought to feel good about feeling good in the Lord. Amen. Pray you feel good in this world, it won't buy you nothing. But when you feel good in the Lord, praise God, it's everything. Amen. So you feel good about feeling good, and then what you do, you try to trap that. You try to get a hold of it. You try to pull it in the shelf. You try to contain it because you don't want to let it go because it feels so good. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's what God does. That's who God is. That's what God wants to be in our life. That helps us and helps us to feel good and be encouraged in the Lord. Amen. It's that sweet smelling savor. It's that pleasant thing. It's that, he said, that's that aroma, that place, that purpose, the presence of God where we want to be. Just want to enjoy it. Amen. Praise the Lord. How long has it been since you enjoyed a good savor of God? Sweet smelling savor of the Lord, His presence. So, well, preacher, it's been a long time. You know what? We have to really get to looking for it. We have to get to recognize it in order to get it and have it. See, these folks was running to and fro. You know, Daniel said that's what we would be doing in the last days. Daniel chapter 12 said in the last days, we'd be running to and fro. Amen. Here, there, and yonder with no particular place to go. Praise God, I'm glad as a child of God, we have a purpose and we have a place, a destination. Amen. Praise God. Into the presence of our Savior. But let's not be caught without Him here. Because His presence is real here. Amen. The conclusion of the whole thing, praise God, is if we're going to see Him, we got to look for Him. And we got to get in that sweet smelling savor of the Lord. Could you just imagine? After His resurrection, everywhere that Jesus went, there was that sweet-smelling Savior. Savior would go before Him. Amen. Praise God. Before word would go out and say, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And boy, people would gather up. They'd gather out. They'd come to see. But after the resurrection, guess what? There was a sweet-smelling Savior. That went out from the Lord Jesus Christ everywhere He went. Amen? Can you imagine?
the magnificence of just the, somebody out there, I smell the Lord coming. I smell the glory be to God. I smell my Savior. I smell Jesus. Man, get you in that presence. Get you a little bit closer and you go, boy, don't that smell good? Boy, ain't that satisfying? Praise God. Hey, like, hey, I'm hungry. But boy, just the smell of my Savior, it satisfies me. Amen. Sis said a while ago, praise God, thank God for the food, but boy, thank God for that spiritual food. That spiritual food that satisfies our souls. I tell you, after that little whiff of Jesus, I don't think Mary Magdalene or the disciples or any of those others was ever the same again. What we need today, youngs, we just need a little whiff of that sweet-smelling Savior. Savior of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sweet-smelling Savior of the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Praise God. He makes all the difference. He takes a house and turns it into a home. Amen. To a place where we can come together and love one another because we know how to love Him. You can't love each other till you learn to love Jesus. You learn to love Jesus and then you love each other supremely. I mean, hey, He'll take away the fighting and the bickering and the arguing and the clamor and all that noise. Amen? And He'll give you that peace that passes understanding. Jesus said, peace be with you. Amen? He said, my peace I give unto you. Ain't it time for peace in a hectic world? Praise God. When we have that sweet-smelling savor, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?